The message this morning, and I'm going to tie this into the baptism, is called With All Your Heart. It might say with all my heart in the bulletin, but with all our hearts. And the story that we're going to look at is in Acts chapter 8. And so if you want to turn to Acts chapter 8, and I'll just give you a quick synopsis of the story, and then we're going to zero in on just a couple of verses. The story starts in verse 26, I believe. It's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. This Ethiopian man had gone to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, which says to me that he was a proselyte to Judaism, that he had embraced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had heard that message, and he was faithful to that, and he was going to Jerusalem to worship. And he did that, and he was on his way back home, and he's in his chariot, and he's traveling home, and God speaks to one of Christ's disciples, a man named Philip, who's mentioned several times in the book of Acts, and he speaks to him, and he says, "See that man in that chariot going down the road to Gaza," it says actually in the scriptures, and as he's heading back to his home. And he says, go, the Lord spoke to Philip and said, go and overtake the chariot and basically have a conversation with this man. So as Philip runs and catches up with the chariot, he hears this man, this Ethiopian man, reading the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. And so as he gets closer to the chariot, he realizes he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip says, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says in verse 31, he says, how can I unless someone guides me? Not only was this Ethiopian man reading from Isaiah, he's reading from Isaiah 53. And if you know your Bible and you know Isaiah 53, that is probably the single most amazing prophecy about the Messiah dying for the sins of the people. You know, of course, we all know that, I'm not saying all, but, you know, many of you understand that the Jews, their vision of the Messiah had come to a point where they were wanting a political ruler, someone that was going to overthrow Rome and such. And Isaiah 53 explains very clearly that the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, was going to die for the sins of the people. So as Philip is approaching and coming to the chariot, this is what the man is reading from verses 7 and 8 of Isaiah 53, and is quoted in Acts chapter 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. What wouldn't you give to go up to someone to share with them about Jesus Christ and find, you know, you're somebody sitting on a park bench, you know? And the Lord says, go over and talk to it. And they're sitting there with their Bible and they're reading Isaiah 53, saying, I don't understand. Can you explain what this means to me? You say, oh, what I wouldn't give for that to happen. You know what I believe? I believe that the more we make ourselves available to God, those things can happen. And he will make those opportunities if he knows that we'll be faithful to follow up and actually do it. He may well give us those kind of opportunities. So the details of the conversation between the Ethiopian and Philip are not in the narrative, really. But we get to a place in verse 36. Whoops. In verse 36. Well, I was going. And then we're going to see verse 37 in a second. But now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? So piecing all this together, we get to this conclusion, at least I feel this is a solid conclusion. Philip, again, this Ethiopian man, he knows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's worshiping in that context. And Philip shares with him the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah has come. And so in some way, in that chariot, as they're going along on the road, this man confesses Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And apparently, in the course of their conversation, we have no idea how long this lasted. Maybe it was a half an hour, maybe it was an hour, maybe it was 2 hours. That somehow that Philip had communicated to him that one of the things that a young Christian does, someone who has just confessed the Messiah is their Lord and Savior, they are water baptized. And so, you know, I'm just, you know, making some what I think are pretty logical assumptions based on this whole thing. And so as they're going along, the eunuch says, hey, there's some water, you know, a river, a pond or something. Can I be baptized? And that brings us to verse 37, which is the crux of what I want to share. And this message is for those being baptized today, but it's for every one of us. It's for every one of us. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With all your heart. Believing with all of our heart. All this transpires in a chariot ride down a road with a brand new person who has just come to Christ. How long this conversation lasted, like I said, we have no idea. Maybe it was an hour, maybe it was 2 hours. The prerequisite, when the Ethiopian said, I would like to be baptized, there's water, can I be baptized? And the thing that Philip said, you don't have to jump through all kinds of hoops, but if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and of course, you know, implied in that is that this man also had surrendered his life to him. And all this happened in probably less than an hour, you know, or something, you know, again, don't know exactly. You know, and there's nothing wrong. You know, you should teach a class on baptism, talk about the necessity of being a part of the church, of the body of Christ, grow in the scriptures and your prayer life, you know, turning away from our sins, repenting, you know, and turning away from our old life and following. You know, all those things are good things that we should do. And when we have the opportunity, you know, we should share those with people as they're taking this step of water baptism. But the most basic priority is that we believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And that is not, when I say believe in him, that is not just giving mental assent. That's not just saying, I believe the facts of the gospel. I believe, you know, these things. I mentally believe these things. This is giving ourselves wholeheartedly to that message, to that person of Jesus Christ. You don't just try Jesus. It's not a 30-day trial. We go wholeheartedly in for him. Amen? So again, like I said, this message is for the 5 individuals that are going to be baptized, but it is also for every one of us, because don't ever assume that giving ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ is something that none of us have a struggle with, right? As much as we would hate to admit it, we set some boundaries sometimes with God. This is how far I'll go. We kind of, you know, do that sort of thing. And if we're honest with ourselves, it is not just a given, and sometimes it is a struggle that we go through in our lives. We draw some lines, we set some boundaries. I will go this far. And it could be anything. You know, there's sometimes, I think, things that we're holding back a little bit. I heard somebody say, Jesus can be the Lord of my life, but not my wallet. You know, no, I'm sorry, that doesn't work, right? He's the Lord of everything. So let's not draw lines. Let's, with all of our heart, not only believe, but surrender our lives and live for him. The claims that we make as Bible-believing Christians, as people who believe this word about who Jesus is, that he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords and he is the Savior, the Redeemer. He is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Creator, you know, part of the eternal Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we contrast all those confessions and those declarations we make sometimes with the way we live, and it just doesn't make sense. How can we say these things about Jesus, which are true, and then not live, you know, a life that's consistent with that? We say he's our all, that our he's our everything, and we're totally devoted to him, but sometimes, knowingly or unknowingly, we're sometimes holding things back. And this is a lifelong process, right? There's no I arrived at this, because I think the closer you get, the more you realize, you know, there's still things that we've got to yield and surrender to him. I have a thing I say, you know, I picked this up a while back, you know, just, you know, in my heart, just this, if we don't give ourselves 100% to God purposely and intentionally every day of our lives, the devil will eat us for lunch, right? I don't want the devil to have me for lunch. I mean that. If we're not going all in for Jesus, we are giving Satan space to come and wreak havoc in our lives. And so we've got to be all in. The devil doesn't take holidays. He doesn't go on vacation. He and his demonic hosts are 24/7 out to ruin your life. Right? Jesus said it. The enemy's come to do nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't take days off. Now, that's nothing that we need to live in fear of, but our quest, our heart, is to go after God. I'm not trying to give the devil any glory or anything like that, nothing like that. But we've got to know our adversary, and we've got to understand his devices and what he's trying to do. And the answer to that is to give ourselves wholeheartedly to God. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, said it this way. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I've heard it said, maybe you've heard this too, well, you know, the Bible says he's like a roaring lion. Some translations say as a roaring lion, but Jesus has defeated him. Yes, he has. Let's make sure we keep that straight. People say, you know, Jesus has defeated him, and Jesus has knocked his teeth out. So he has a lot of roar, he has a lot of bark, but his roar is worse than his bite, because Jesus knocked his teeth out. He's just going around pretending he's a roaring lion. Well, I understand that. I'm down for that. That's good. I believe that. But even without any teeth, he has wrecked a lot of lives. Amen? So don't underestimate your adversary. Don't underestimate your adversary. And, you know, the best way to rebuke the devil, the best way to keep him from wreaking havoc in your life is going all in with all your heart, surrendering everything to Jesus every day of your life. Purposely, intentionally giving our lives to him. Like I said, this doesn't just apply to the five people that are going to be getting in the baptismal in just a couple moments. Just another verse. We'll close here shortly. John 14, it's getting close to Jesus' crucifixion. And that's why he says this. He says to his disciples, I will no longer talk much with you, because he knew what was about to happen. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. The ruler of this world, a reference to the devil. Jesus knows that the devil is going to wage an all-out attack against him as he is on his way to the cross. But Jesus says, he has nothing in me. In other translations, he has no claim on me. He has no hold over me. Come on. He has no power over me. He has nothing to use against me. Those are different translations of that part of that verse in John 14:30. That is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's not necessarily the testimony of our lives, right? Because we can't say that he has nothing to get a hold of in our lives. That's what we strive for. That's what we are pursuing. But it is, like I said, a lifelong pursuit. The enemy comes along, you know, going back to that verse in Peter, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He comes along, he checks every door. Is that door locked or unlocked? Is that window ajar? Is there something that I can find to gain access into the life of this person? I'm talking about doors and windows. I'm not talking about buildings. I'm talking about our lives, right? He is looking to gain the upper hand in our lives, to establish strongholds in our lives and such like that. And so Jesus could say, the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, Satan is coming, but he has nothing in me. There's nothing that he can grab a hold of. There's nothing that he can get a hook into me. I don't think any one of us can say that with the same degree of certainty. You understand what I'm saying? But we go after that. We go after that. We are in a lifelong battle to minimize those points of entry in our lives so the enemy does not have entry into our lives. And while none of us do it perfectly, we strive to remove everything in our lives that can give him an upper hand, anything that he can latch onto. We give our lives to him with all our heart. Where's Isaac? There he is, right on. I'm looking elsewhere. So back in men's group, if you know where I'm going with this, maybe at Gary Derwick's, when we had dinner at Gary's back over the summer, and we were talking after dinner, and Isaac said, you know, he was just wrestling with his walk with the Lord, you know, wanting to be closer to Jesus, and he said, God showed me that the devil owns the fence. You know, because we talk about some people ride the fence. Well, yeah, I want some of Jesus, but I want some of the world too, and we ride the fence. We try to stay in that middle ground, and I love that, and I've used that a few times. You know, I've used it in, you know, preaching in the jail. I've used it here, and thank you. The devil owns the fence, so get off the fence and get all in for Jesus Christ. In closing, I heard someone say, they were quoting Billy Graham, and Billy Graham once said, some people have just enough of the gospel that they're inoculated against it. Do you know what I'm saying? You know the idea, and I know there's controversy over vaccines, you know, especially since COVID and all that stuff, but just put all that aside. You understand what a vaccine is supposed to do. It introduces a small amount of that virus or whatever so that your body learns what it is, creates antibodies to resist it. So if the real virus, you're exposed to the real thing, your body says, I recognize that. We've got a plan for this, you know, so to speak. We can resist this, right? Well, that's all good in the context of us as people, you know, not getting the disease or whatever, be it the flu or whatever other things, you know, that people get vaccinated for. But sometimes people are inoculated, I don't know where to say, inoculated to or inoculated against Jesus. I'm not sure how to say it, but you get the idea. They've got just enough of the gospel. You know those people, right? Oh, yeah. I got it. I heard a guy once in the jail said, I got four Bibles at home. I was like, wow. You know, check that one off. You know, it's like just enough. You know, I go to church. I pray for whatever, you know, and just enough of the gospel that the full force of the gospel cannot penetrate. They've been inoculated against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that describes some people in our culture and even some people in our churches. Just enough that we aren't dealing with and reckoning with the full force of the gospel. And we're inoculated to it. So our quest, like I said before, is that we would really get as close to God as we can with all of our heart. Remember Philip and the Ethiopian, if you believe with all your heart, and there's a lot of implications to that word believe, like I said, it's not just yeah, check off the boxes. It is a commitment, a surrender of our lives. Isn't that what it means to be conformed into the image of Jesus? You know, the Bible says that's one of our goals. You know, that's, I think people say, what's God's will for your life? To be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I'll close with this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, some of you know who he is. He was a German pastor in Germany during World War II, martyred for his faith, for his stand that he took against the Nazis and such, and all, amazing man, amazing heart for God, amazing mind. You know, he was just an amazing man. And he talked about something that he called, and you've probably heard this phrase at times, maybe some of you have, cheap grace. Cheap grace. And sometimes we can in the church be guilty of cheap grace. And he defines it this way. This is from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. And cheap grace is the enemy of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And sadly, sometimes we're up against that. So I just, again, encourage every single one of us, those being baptized and everyone here, go all in for Jesus. No cheap grace, no halfway, no on the fence, no inoculated. All in, all in. So I'm going to ask the individuals who are going to be baptized, maybe just clear that stuff off there. And why don't you, the five of you, just come up and sit here for a second. And I want to just share a little bit about baptism. And then we'll get going. I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite things. We do our best every day to give ourselves to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm yours. I believe in you with all my heart. I give all of me to you so that I can have all of you. Amen? So as we prepare for the water baptism, I've met with each one of these individuals. And what we talk about, you know, we talk about a lot of things, but just in a very quick summary, I always say there's three reasons, actually four, why we're water baptized. Number one is obedience. The Bible says in Matthew 28, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, okay? Matthew 28, just the Bible says, do it, okay? That's all. Just do it. Just do it. But secondly, it also talks about there's a symbolic aspect to this. What happened in a person's life when they received Jesus Christ is kind of summarized, I think, very well in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And I'll just read those quickly. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when these individuals are water baptized and they get in the tank, And we say, based on your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to go down in death under the water. You know, it was just symbolic of what Jesus did. And rise and walk in newness of life. And when I say symbolic of what Jesus did, I mean when he died on the cross, he died and he was buried, but 3 days later he rose again. Amen? And so that doesn't happen when you're in the baptismal. You've already given your life to Christ. You've already surrendered your life to him, and you've become that new creation. But this is a visible, physical, tangible way to show that. The old person that I was is gone, and I am a new creation living a new life. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that ties in with the last thing, and that is that it is a confession of our faith. Other people see this, and they say, oh, that person's going all in for Jesus. Amen? So, and the other thing I would just say, there's a connection to baptism and just our commitment to the body of Christ. We're a part of the body. We're not just individuals anymore, right? We're a part of a body, Christ's body, the church. So that's just a quick rundown. We're going to, I'm going to ask Rick if you come up. All right, so how are we going to do this? First of all, I want to take a picture of these five folks. We got shirts for everyone. First time for this. I'm going to set this here so I can set the mic down. This is where I missed my headset because I got to get another one of those. The one we had broke. But so why don't you five guys come up? And Sharon, would you take a picture? Just kind of stand here. Or you direct them, okay? However you want that. I want to get a picture of everybody before you get all messy. Before you... Okay, you can go sit down, and I think, what's the order here? Josh, I'm going to have you go first. You guys can sit down. So, Josh, you want to take a moment and, why don't you? Oh, okay, you need to get changed. Okay, all right. Then you won't go first, so you go ahead. I thought you were all set. So, Scott, all right, you're going to start us off. All right, why don't you come up and just take a moment if you'd like to share. Okay, you guys got changed.
That's okay.
Anybody that needs to get changed. I thought everybody was ready. I'm sorry.
There's so much I want to say right now, but I want to keep it short.
You got time now.
Yeah, right. 20 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ and was baptized. Everything that the pastor was just saying, you know, there's questions I have. I mean, we're to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, right? So here's some of the questions that I have for myself that I've been thinking about, that I've been meditating on. Do I love the Lord? Do I love His word? Do I love His commandments? Do I love His precepts? Do I love His statutes like David? I would say I fall short of that. Mm-hmm. Do I love my wife as Christ loved the church? I would say I fall short of that, you know? Am I walking in that newness of life that you just spoke about? Is the old man dead and buried with Christ? Sometimes I don't know. You know? Jesus paid an unbelievable price on that cross for me to live and walk in that newness of life. And when I met with the pastor last week, he was like, man, 20 years, bro, you want to get baptized again? I was like, yeah, man, I've just been asking myself all these questions, and I want to stand before this congregation in humility. And not just before my brothers and sisters, but before a holy God who died on that cross for me and provided this moment, okay? I just want to start over again, right? God is the God of new beginnings, right? Hallelujah, you know? Am I walking in holiness, right? These are all these things. I just want to recommit my life to Jesus Christ and thank all these guys here for making that decision too, right? Yeah, and I want to be here for my brothers and sisters too, you know? So that's really all I got to say. Hallelujah.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, you can go ahead and, we'll let Scott go and get changed, but Ethan, you want to come up and you can share a little bit, and if you're ready to go, we'll there's no set order here, right?
All right. First, I just want to thank God. Without Him, I wouldn't be here. I sold my soul once, and He bought it back. If that, you know, if that doesn't show the goodness of God, I don't know what does. But I do have a quick story I wanted to share. It happened 2 days ago at work. I was working alone, and my two friends come in, and they start asking me about prayer circles. And I'm like, well, what's going on? And they say, well, we were just outside dispensing an order, and, you know, we conversation happens out there, and they were just talking, and my one friend mentioned the Holy Spirit. And the lady that was in the car, she kind of heard, and she was like, you know the Holy Spirit? And my friend was like, well, yeah. And they got to talking, and this lady was like, hey, do you mind if I just pray for you real quick? And the lady got out of her car, and she took him in her arms, and she prayed over him right there in the parking lot. And they came back in, and they were just like, you know, they had a lot of things going on, and they needed some help. And that lady helped, was able to give what she could. And I was just like, you know what, guys? I said, I'm pretty sure that was a sign. I was like, if you want to come to church, feel free. So God is good.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen. All right, brother, why don't you come around here? I'm going to have to set this down, and would you come on in? Just step in.
Oh, hey, you turned the heater.
Yeah, I turned the heater on, and just go on down here and sit down. All right.
So, Ethan, based on your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to go down in death, and rise and walk in newness of life.
The sun sets.
Let's all stand together. If that doesn't get you going, huh? Amen? Amen. Wow. God is so good. God is so good. So just give him a big hug. It doesn't matter if you get wet, right? Give him a big hug and tell him, hey, you're part of God's family, and we're with you. We're standing with you. And so what a special day. What a special time. And let's pray together. And why don't we just all, Dee's gone. I was going to say we could just all together sing that song. But let's pray. Father, we just worship you, and we give you glory and honor for what you're doing. And not just these five, we are so excited about these five folks, Lord, that were baptized, but for each and every person here who has surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you have not taken this step of faith, I hope what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced would serve to draw your heart to a place of surrender. Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And I've said a million times, forgive those who've heard me. 46 years ago, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and I have never for one second regretted taking that step and surrendering to him. And so I just encourage you, we'd love to pray with you. Let's pray right now. And this might reflect what's in your heart. Jesus, I believe that you came to this earth and died on the cross for my sin. And right now, I open my heart to you. And I ask you to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. I turn away from my sin. I repent of those things. I ask you to help me by your Holy Spirit to remove these things out of my life, God, that are not pleasing to you. I pray that you would help me to live every day for you. I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. All things become new. All things have become new. And if you're here today and you're praying with me, that prayer. Please, please, please acknowledge that. Tell someone, come and tell me, tell somebody that you came here with today. I prayed. That's what Elizabeth did a few weeks ago, came up to me and said, I prayed that prayer at the end of the service. So Lord, we pray for those that have made this commitment today, whether those that are being baptized or those who are just here in the congregation. God, you are faithful. You who have begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we just go after you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great day. Great day in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Dismiss. Have a great time. We got some donuts, some coffee out there. We can celebrate with our friends that were just baptized, our brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless you. Dismiss. Dismissed.